Today's daf is Tzad Yizayin. We're going to start near the top from the words V'chitema, okay, the fourth line. So if you remember, we were trying to figure out if the Shulchan was a clay Eitz HaSoy L'Nacha, remember, then it's not Mekabel Tuma. And then, so how could that be? So they say, oh no, they moved the Shulchan, right? So that would answer the question. And then they suggested, but why don't you just say that it's not because it wasn't a soy l'nachat? Why don't you just say that we're going to judge it based on the tzipui? The whole issue of a kli that's a soy l'nachat, that's meant not to move, is an issue for clay eitz, but it's not an issue for clay matechet. So if you say that we're going to go by the tzipui and we're going to judge it by the fact that it was covered with gold, then you resolve the problem, and then you don't have to answer, oh, well, they moved it three times a year when the Ole Regalim came. They're basically saying you could have answered a simpler answer. I guess one's simpler than the other, maybe. There's two ways to answer it. Either it wasn't a soy l'nachat, or it wasn't a kli eitz. So they're basically saying, why do you answer it wasn't a soy l'nachat? Why don't you just answer it wasn't a kli eitz because it was covered? And if it was covered with matechet, then we judge it based on a kli being of matechet, as we saw in the Mishnah. So then we tried to suggest maybe there's a difference between the tzipoy discussed in that Mishnah, which was a tzipoy that was nailed into place, whereas on the Shulchan it wasn't nailed into place. But then they say, no, because they already explained about that Mishnah, that lo shna tzipoy omed, lo shna tzipoy she'en omed. So now they're going to continue and say, but maybe there's another reason why we wouldn't go, but maybe you would say, v'chi tema maybe you say, well, the shulchan is made with this special wood. Okay, the atzei shitim wood, it's acacia, is that how you pronounce it in English? Acacia wood. So it was made with this special wood, and maybe that's why. In other words, we can't call it gold, even though it was covered with gold, because what was inside was so important that we're going to go by the wood itself.
In other words, it's an exception to the
rule. It's an exception to the rule. In other words, again, when you have a regular kli that's covered with something, we're going to go by what it's covered by. But when the base is something so important, we're then going to say, then we judge it based on what's inside. And that's why, again, we couldn't answer, oh, it's covered with gold. It's judged like a kli matechet because it actually goes by the eitz. So maybe you would say that. So that only works. There's a machloka between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about this. So Hani Chali Rish Lakish, that would work according to Rish Lakish to Amar, who said about the Mishnah again, when the Mishnah says we go by the covering, Lo Shanu Ela Bekli Achsilagus. Okay, nobody really knows what the root of this word is. Some people say it was the name of a place. Some people say they don't really know. But what it basically means is a regular Kli, like an average type type of wood. It's a type of wood. Haba'imi midinat hayam. Okay? So the Mishnah, when it says it goes by the cover, right, the shayish, it's going to be judged on the shayish based on assuming it's an average kli. And the wood is an average type wood. Ava kli mismas chashive velo batle. Comes Rish Lakish and he says, if you have a kli made out of this masmis wood, which is another type of wood, then the wood is so important that it doesn't get canceled out to the shayish, and we're going to judge the kli based on the wood. So that shop here, then you can very simply say, the shulchan is made of atzei shitim. That was obviously a superior type wood. Therefore, that's the reason why the Gemara didn't answer that. But now, ela le Rabbi Yochanan, but according to Rabbi Yochanan da'amar, kli mismis nami batle, he thinks that the Mishnah was talking about even extraordinary kli, okay, a nicer material. Even the mismas, it would still be canceled to the covering. And therefore, my ikalameimar, so therefore, what could you answer according to Rabbi Yochanan? So now they're going to say, shane shulchan derachmana karye eitz. The shulchan is different because the Torah calls it a shulchan made of eitz. Okay, where does the Torah call it? Okay, in fact, it's not the Torah. It's the Nevi'im in Yechezkel. Okay, we're going to see that they called the Shulchan Eitz. And because it was called Eitz, what do you see? Well, in the description, Yechezkel, they called it Eitz, even though it was covered with Zahav. So there you see that even if you hold, like Rabbi Yochanan, and even if this mismas wood would be used, it would still be canceled out to the covering. We're going to put the shulchan in a unique category because Yechezkel calls it eitz, which means we're going to say this is eitz and it's not gold. Right? You see a table covered with gold, you'll probably call it a gold table, but since the Torah calls it, or the Nevi'im call it wood, we're going to say therefore it goes by wood, and that's why we couldn't answer the question, right? That's why we're going to consider this for Tumen Tara purposes, a kli eitz. Which again goes back to why we had to answer, even though kli eitz, asoy lenachat, is a makabel tuma, this was different because it wasn't asoy lenachat. It was moved because they showed it off to the people in the Shalosh Regalim. So now we're going to see where Yechezkel calls it. We're going to see a bunch of psukim in the description in Yechezkel. Yechezkel has descriptions of the kelim of the future Beit HaMikdash, right? The Beit HaMikdash HaShlishi. He has all these descriptions. We're going to start with one today. We're going to end with some others today. HaMizbeach Eitz. Okay, first of all, this is weird. It calls the Shulchan a Mizbeach. Okay? HaMizbeach Eitz, Shalosh Amok Gavoa, Shalosh Amok Gavoa, or Koshtayim Amot, Umikzaot Lova, or Kovikirotav Eitz. Okay, so it describes the Shulchan as being eitz. V'yedaber elai, how do we know they're talking about the Shulchan and not the Mizbeach? Because it says, Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lefnei Hashem. Okay, so then it describes, this that I just described you is the Shulchan. And it called it eitz, right? In two places it called it, right? It called it eitz in the beginning, and then it says in Kirotav eitz. So now the Gemara is just going to go, so that already answered our question. Since it was called eitz, we're going to go by eitz. So now they say patach b'mizbeach v'siyem b'shulchan, right? It seems right. This sounds like patach v'kav v'siyem chavit. So the pasuk starts off and calls it a mizbeach, and then it calls it a shulchan. So why is that? Now we got off on a total tangent. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Amar Travayu. Both of them say, what does this teach you? Bizman shebeit hamikdash kayam mizbeach mechaper al adam. V'achshav she'ein beit hamikdash kayam shulchano shel adam mechaper alav. This is where people say a shulchan is a mizbeach. Now you see where it comes from. Okay, people say don't sit on a table because a table is like a mizbeach. Have you heard that, right? There's people are very careful about that. So this is where it comes from because it calls the shulchan a mizbeach. And what does this mean? So he says, now that we have no Beit HaMikdash, a person's table is mechaper alav. Now, what does that mean? So I'll give you three different interpretations. I hope I remember all three. One is hachnasat orchim, okay, which is, right, if you do hachnasat orchim, that will be your way to receive atonement. Right? I was thinking it's like al shoshad dvarim ha'olam omed, al torah, al avodah, al gmilu chasadim. So one is to say it's gmilu chasadim instead of avodah. You don't have avodah anymore. Do more gmilu chesed, do achnasad orchim. That will provide you with atonement. The other is to say al torah, avodah, right? So Torah. If you have a shulchan without Torah, if you don't speak divrei Torah at your table, right? And as speaking divrei Torah at your table is what's going to be mechaper. And the third interpretation, I knew I was going to forget one. The third one's very interesting. It doesn't have to do with the Torah, Avodah, and Lechazin, because we've already covered all three bases. What is, there's another interpretation, which is how you eat, okay? In other words, if you, and it's really promoting asceticism. In other words, don't eat too much, don't be gluttonous, right? If you basically watch what you eat, that is going to provide you with atonement. Don't make too big a deal about food.
This ties interesting back to the Gemara Chassidim. It says you should eat slowly and carefully in the hope that somebody will come whom you can feed.
Ah, that's yafeh. That combines the two. Okay. Cute. Okay, so three different interpretations, a very interesting line about Shulchano Shel Adam Mechaper Alav and what that could mean. Okay, now we're going back to the Shulchan. Arbash Snifim Shel Zahav Ayusham. Minani Mili. Where do we get this from, that there were these Snifim? Right, where does it say in the Torah there were Snifim? So, Amar Rav Katina, Amar Kra, Rav Katina says, if you look in the Pasuk, what does it say in Shmo Kafei? It talks about the Shulchan, and it says, Vasita ka'arotav v'chapotav ukisotav umanikayotav. Okay, what are these things? So it's not so clear. Ka'arot means dishes or
pots.
What?
Mold.
Well, they're going to explain that it means the molds. But a ka'ara is usually like a bowl type thing, okay, or a dish. Kapotav usually we translate as spoons, but here they're going to say it's more like a bowl, okay? So maybe like plates and bowls, something like that, or pans and bowls. I think I saw it translated also as pans. Okay, so what are these four things going to be? Ka'arotav elu tfusim. There you have it. Those are the molds, okay? They darshan. Instead of a kara, well, there's no real kara here. Those are the molds that they put the bread into. Kapotav elu bezichin. Ah, you need a little dish, right? What's the little dish? That's where they put the lavona, into that little bowl. Kisotav, now this isn't so clear what this is. These two words are not really translatable. What is kisotav? Elu snifim. Okay, these are the snifim. Those were those parts on the sides that hold it in place. Rashi says it comes from not kasiotav is with a sin, but lots of times shin and sin are interchangeable, and he says it comes from kashe, hard. The bread hardened onto the snifim, if you remember, they kind of held it into place. Although you would think maybe they harden more in the mold, and maybe that would have been a better connection. Anyway, he's trying to make a connection here. Umanikiyotav elu kanim. Those are the reeds, right? Those chatzi, those half reeds that they put underneath the breads. Asher yisach bahem. What does Asher yisach bahem? That's the continuation of the pasuk. Umanikiyotav asher yisach bahem. What is yisach? Shemisachachim bahem etalechem, like schach. It covers the bread, meaning the kanim were placed on top of the breads. Now, it didn't cover all the breads because it didn't cover the top bread, but it was basically put as a covering on most of the breads. Motiv Rava. Rava now asks a question. Lo sidur kanim velo nitilatam dochot et ha-shabbat. Now it says in the Mishnah that right, setting up the kanim and taking them off is not doche shabbat. In other words, what does he claim? He says, according to this, you're saying that all these parts of the shulchan were midoraita because they all appear in the text. If that's the case, well, then they must be very significant. If something's very significant, then amai ein dochot et ha-shabbat. So why do you have to take them off on Erev Shabbat and only put them back on Motzei Shabbat? It should seem, right, that if these are doraita, it's very important they be there, and therefore they can be removed on Shabbat when you have to take the breads off, and put back on Shabbat when you put the new breads on. So hadar amarava, but Rava now answers his own question. Lav miltahi. That's not really, my question's really not a good question. Why? Lav miltahu da'amre. What I said is not really so great. Ditnan, because it says in the Mishnah, klal amar Rabbi Akiva, kol melacha she'efshar la'asotam erev Shabbat, eino doche et ha-shabbat. V'hanei nami, efshar de'lo dachei Shabbat alayu. Okay, let me stop for a second. He says very simply, what?
The question is, why is a melacha?
You're right. I forgot to mention this yesterday. I'm glad you reminded me. I wanted to point this out. Why is this even considered a melacha? So first of all, there were these little indentations made in the snifim where they would attach the kanim, the reeds to. So now the issue is that it actually looks like binyan. It's not actually building, but it looks like you're building because you're putting them into place. Right, it's almost like a folding table, right? You're allowed to use a folding table on Shabbat. But I guess they felt like in the Mikdash, they didn't want to do anything that looked at all like you were building. So they basically said, and again, it's not a malacha, but since you can do it Me'erev Shabbat, better to do it Me'erev Shabbat and not to do it on Shabbat. So it's not exactly a malacha, but better not to. So now he says, even if you say they're Midoraita, it still doesn't mean it can be Doche Shabbat. That just means they're imported. But if it can be done Me'erev Shabbat, then great. So now he has to explain, why is it obvious they can be done Me'erev Shabbat? V'hanei nami, efshar delo dache Shabbat alayu. These also, you can say, they're not Doche Shabbat. Because why? Tam amai, what's the whole reason they're there? Delo li'apesh lechem, so that the bread doesn't get moldy. B'chi ha'ishiura lo mi'apesh. And that amount of time of leaving it off for, you know, let's say from the evening till the daytime when they take the bread off, and then the bread's from the daytime that they knew, the new ones that they put on, until, there's actually a machloket about this Motzei Shabbat. It says, okay, we'll read it in a second, but it says, Kedetanya, like when we already read this, Ketzad, Nichnas Me'erev Shabbat B'Shamtan, U'Menichan La'orko Shal Shulchan, U'Motzei Shabbat Nichnas, Magbia Rashel Shal Chala, right, you pick up the sides of the Chala, U'ma, the heads of the Chala, U'Machnis Kaneh Tachteh, V'Chozer Magbia Rashel Shal Chala, U'Machnis Kaneh Tachteh. Okay, so they basically say, right, we'll continue this bright in a minute. They basically say you would come Erev Shabbat, take them off, put them lower kosher shulchan. We saw two interpretations of that yesterday. And then you would put the kanim back on Motzei Shabbat. Some people say, how could you have gone in on Motzei Shabbat? First of all, you're not allowed to go into the Eichan unless you have an avodah to do. This isn't really an avodah. So some people say it doesn't actually mean Motzei Shabbat literally. Motzei Shabbat could be Sunday morning. Right? The next time they go into the Eichan, then they do it. Or alternatively, you could say, no, this was important and they were allowed to do it. So they went inside. Now the bride continues. Arba chalot srichot shloshah shloshah kanim, right? The four chalot, the four middle ones need three kanim below them. Right, but the top one only needs two, and here they say it explicitly what I said yesterday. Because it doesn't have a lot of weight on it, only has one above it, so therefore two is sufficient. And the bottom one doesn't need it all, because it's straight on the table. And that, I don't know why exactly that wouldn't prevent it from needing air, right? But they claim it's on the Shulchan itself, it doesn't need anything. Okay, that's all. So now we're kind of finished that issue. Okay, now we're going to bring a Mishnah. Okay, Tanan Hatan, there's a Mishnah in Kalim, which says, Rabbi Meir Omer. Now we're going to get into the Midot. Okay, we talked about that there were, okay, why are we getting to this? Because we saw before that there was a debate about whether the Amma had five, right? When we're talking about the Lechem HaPanim and the Shulchan, right, whether the Amma had five tefachim, when we talk about the midot of the Shulchan, right? So the midot of the Shulchan, we said, this one doesn't work. Okay, the midot of the Shulchan were one amma by two amot. And then we saw two different opinions. Is one amma five tefachim, or is one amma six tefachim? And that affected how, if we have, because we have the bread in tefachim and the Shulchan in amot, so we have to correlate those two. So either the bread was five tefachim and then 2.5 high, or it was six tefachim long and two high. Okay? So that was all this discussion. Was the amma discussed in the Shulchan five tefachim or six tefachim? And we said that there's some amot that are five and some amot that are six. There's different ways to measure it. Now we're going to have a whole debate about it in the Mishnah. Tanan Hatam, Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Amot Shayu B'Mikdash, Beinoniot. Beinoniot means six, okay? Because, right, it's actually a little tricky because Beinoni is just compared to either large or small, but here it's going to mean that's the larger size compared to the smaller one, which is an Amah Bat Chamesh. That's because the standard is six. It's only in some places we're going to say it's five. And then the question is, in which places is it five? So here, this starts our chart. Okay, I charted out the whole rest of the daf. It's a lot of complicated numerical stuff. Rabbi Meir claims that kol amot shayu b'mikdash, all the amot were beinoniot, chutz mi, okay, except for, here are the exceptions. Mi mizbach hazahav, okay, the golden altar, which was the altar that was inside the hechal, which was one amah by one amah, was much, much smaller than the bigger mizbech, which was 32 by 32 amot. So it was very small. There they would burn the incense. That was the one that was inside. The mizbech hazahav, when it says it was one amah by one amah, those amot are five tefachim. Okay? Okay, there's three other exceptions. The keren, okay, the karnot of that of the big mizbeach, the outer mizbeach. There were four corners of it. There were one amah by one amah. So those amot, he claims, were five instead of six. V'hasovev v'hayisod. Okay, we have to go back to our whole description of the mizbeach again, if you remember. So the mizbeach was, can you pass the eraser? The mizbeach was 32 amah by 32 amah. Okay? But it had, as part of that 32 amah, okay, it was basically a base, okay? From that base, there were certain things that jutted out. So on the included in the 32 amah was the yesod, which was this part that extended on two of the sides, okay? And that was this extra part at the very bottom that, if you remember, was one amah. It juts out one amah from the base, okay? Which means, and it's counted on all its sides. So the 32 by 32 includes basically two amot of it because one amah on either side of the mizbeach. So then the base of the mizbeach was actually 30 by 30. Okay, I have to remember all this because we're going to get to all this today. So the base of the mizbeach is now 30 by 30, and the yesod juts out an amah. Okay? How we minus it by two? Because the assumption is we're counting the whole, if you make a whole square around, you're going to have one amah on either side of this yesod jutting out. So that's going to take away two amot in our count. So the whole big thing is 32 by 32. What?
Why would you count that other? You didn't have the yesod on the other.
So, because you can't have a square with, if you're giving a measurement of 32 by 32, it's going to obviously include that. You can't say it's 32. You wouldn't be able to. It's 32 by 32. Right. If you got into very specifics. But right. They're talking like that. So then the base is 30 by 30. Then, if you go, okay, now how tall was it? It was 10 amot high. Okay, the gova is 10 amot. And now, six amot high, okay, between the fifth and the sixth amma, okay, between five and six is the sovev. That's this part that then, okay, the whole, again, you have an amma jutting out, and the base inside is now going to be 28 by 28, because you have around it something called the sovev. And that's where they would go up on the ramp, and they would, you know, there was a way to get to that sovev area, and the kohanim would walk there, and they would do certain things we're going to see today. For example, the olah ha'of, they would do the malika, and then they would sprinkle the blood right at that spot. Okay, so that's called the sovev, and that also jutted out an amma. So far, by the way, let me just clarify. We already said, according to Rabbi Meir, that the keren, the sovev, and the yesod, so these amot that the sovev jutted out and the yesod jutted out, that amma was a five tvachim amma and not a six tvachim amma. Okay?
Are you going to walk on it?
Okay, we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about some other problems about this. Okay, that it, something doesn't make sense after that, but okay, we'll get back to it. So then, on this 28 by 28, which is the major part of the Mizbeach, you have these four kranot in the corners. Those are one amma by one amma, okay, which gets you now to 26 by 26, right, inside, okay, because now you're losing, again, two amot of each of these kranot on Mizbeach. And then, on top of that, you needed Makom Hilucha Kohanim. The Kohanim had to be able to walk around in that within that area of the Kranot. So the Ma'aracha, which is in the center of all that, was 24 by 24, because you need an Amma all around for the Kohen to walk. Those are all the Midot of the Mizbeach that we're going to get back to. Okay? I don't know if you can figure this out, but if already you say that we're talking about the width, and the width is one Tefach less, well then all these measurements are going to be off. Because if all these measurements are in Ammas of six Tvachim, then all these measurements are not going to make any sense. We're going to get back to that later, okay, if you figure that out. If not, we'll see it inside. So he says now, let's go back to Rabbi Meir. All the Amot in the Mikdash were Benoniot, six Tvachim Amot, except for the Mizbach HaZahav, which was one by one. So that's measured by Chamesh Tvachim, Chamesha Tvachim. The Keren, the Sovev, and the Yesod all jutted out in Amma. Okay, we're going to have to talk about which, what aspect of them, because also what's interesting about them, they're both, their width was an amma, they jutted out, and their height was an amma. So the question is going to be, when we say it was an amma of five, are we talking about the height, or are we talking about the width? Okay? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, amat binyan shishat tvachim, anything that was built, meaning the walls, okay, or something built into the ground, like for example, this huge mizbeach that we're talking about, that was mizbeach chitzoni, mizbeach hanechoshet, it's also called. That mizbeach was built into the ground. All the amot there are going to be shishat tvachim. Vishel kelim, but the amot of all the other kelim are chamisha, are five. Okay? All the kelim in the mikdash, they're going to be considered five. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ushneem mikra achad darshu. Okay? Where did they both learn this? From the same pasuk. Again, from Yechezkel. Ve'ela midot ha-mizbeach. Okay, just if you're curious, I brought you the whole section in Yechezkel. It talks about ata ben adam hageda be'Yisrael et ha-bayit b'yikamu me'avonotem u'madidu et ha-tochnit. Right, tell them the midot of the bayit, and they'll be redeemed from their sins, and, you know, measure out the tochnit, and he starts to tell them all the details. So in Pasuk, Yud, which Pasuk are we in now? Yud Gimel, it says, Ve'ela midot ha-mizbeach ve'amot amma amma v'tofach. What does this say? The midot are in amma amma v'tefach. Okay, in other words, each amma is measured as an amma and a tefach, meaning 5 plus 1 is 6. They're all measured in 6 tefachim ammas. But here come the exceptions. V'tofach, amma amma v'tofach. Okay, that was already what we read. Bechek amma. Ve'ama rochav u'gvula el svata seviv hazeret ha'achad v'zeh gav ha'mizbech. Okay, the assumption is that these are four terms that they're both going to agree on the explanation of them. Okay, so now we're going to explain. Chek ha'ama zeh yesod. Okay, the chek ha'ama is like the, you describe chek, the, like a,
the base.
The base. The base of the ama, that makes sense, right? Chek is the base. Okay, there you have it. Zeh yesod, that's the base. Amma rochav, right? Your chek is like your lap, right? It's the base of your body. Amar Rochav, when it says Amar Rochav, what is that? Zeh Sovev. Okay, that means the Sovev, because it went around the Mizbech. Ugvula El Svata Saviv Zeret HaEchad Elu Kranot. Okay, El Svata, on the corners, basically, there were Kranot, right? Those were the corners. It's a little bit tricky, because Zeret HaEchad is a half an Amma. So how could we say it's an Amma? So here, and we're going to see this explanation later also, what they meant is the radius of the base of the of it was half an amma, meaning you have, you know, if you were in the center, you would go out half an amma that way, you would end up being one amma by one amma. Okay, so that's what they mean when they say zeret ha'achad, which is really half an amma, it's half an amma in every direction, which gets you to an amma by an amma. Zeh gava mizbeach, zeh mizbeach ha'zahav. Okay, when it says zeh gava mizbeach, it's referring to the mizbeach ha'zahav. So now, what's the machloka between them? Okay, I charted this all out in the first chart. Rabbi Meir Savar. Zeh ba'ama bat chamisha. Okay, what they're saying is, read the pasuk again. It says, these are the midot of, right, all the midot of the Mizbeach are an ama, ama v'tefach, meaning each ama is equal to six tefachim, except for all of these, right? And that's very clear, because what did he say? Everything is ama bat shesh, except for the following things, right? These four things. So how does he read it? Zeh ba'ama bat chamesh. So when it says Zeh Gava Mizbeach, it didn't need to say Zeh Gava Mizbeach. It was listing four things. It should have just said Gava Mizbeach, Ve Gava Mizbeach, right? Why did it say Zeh? It's to teach you Zehu Ba'amat Bat Chamisha Ha Kol Amot Kelim Ba'amat Bat Shesh. It was saying only the Mizbeach HaZahav is going to be five plus the three things we just listed, the Yesod, the Sovev, and the Kranot, but everything else is Shesh. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Kaze Yehiyu Kol Amot Kelim. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, this is telling you that all the Kelim are supposed to be like this. Ze means Kaze, right? Ze could either be exclusive, saying just this, or Ze could be, this is teaching you about everything that's like the Mizbeach HaZahav, which was all the Kelim. Okay, so there's a debate about whether it means all the Kelim, again, all the Kelim that are movable, not the big Mizbeach, or not. Okay. Now they're going to say, okay, now we're going to go to the next chart on the page. Are we talking about Gova, we're going to see, or are we talking about Rochav? When we say about the Yesod and the Sovev and the Kranot, that they were one Amma of an Amma Bat Chamisha, was it first they're going to try it in Gova, and they're going to say that doesn't make sense with the numbers that we know, and then we're going to try it in Rochav, and then we're going to say that doesn't make sense with the numbers we know, and we're going to be stuck, okay? First we'll see that Rochav does work with the numbers, but then we're going to bring several questions on that also. Okay, we're going to have a few questions. Some of them we'll be able to answer, some of them we won't. And then tomorrow, we'll only get to the third interpretation. Kasal kadatach, if you thought yesterday we ended big question, also today. Kasal kadatach, miyesod va'ad sovev, ba'ama bat chamisha begova. Okay, so now they're assuming when we said all these were in ama bat chamisha, we're talking about the height of them. Umay cheka ama, ama ve'rochav, ama rochav. Then when it said Cheka Ama, which we said was the Yesod, and Ama Rochav we said was the Sovev, Hachi Kamar, this is what they meant to say. Mi Cheka Ama ve'ad Rochav Ba'ama. What they meant to say was not Yesod Kama, Sovev Kama. From Yesod to Sovev, meaning, what did I tell you? The Sovev went up, it was basically, the Sovev was this one Ama height, from, right, this one Ama in height and one Ama in width, from the fifth to the sixth Amma of height. So basically, they're going to say from the Yesod, which was at the bottom, until the Sovev, which means until the top of the Sovev, which was the first six Amot of the Mizbeach, of the height of the Mizbeach, from there to there was Ba'ama Bat Chamisha. Okay? That's what we're going to say. Okay? So, Mai Chek Yesod Ba'ama Rochav Hachi Kamar. Mi Cheka Ama Ba'ad Rochav Ba'ama, right? Again, fill in the words. From the Yesod to the Sovev, the Amot that we measure were Bat Chamisha. Okay, so now let's figure all this out. So Gova HaMizbeach Kama Havi. Okay, it was Eser Amot, we know that. Okay, so now you can follow in the chart. She, the first six, B'nei Chamisha, right? If the first six were five Tvachim high, remember, each Amma was an Amma Bat Chamisha Tvachim. We're now going to say, it's very simple, right? The first six Amot were five Tvachim Ammas. The next four Amot, to get to the top of the ten, were six Tvachim Amot. Okay, so now do the math. Okay? And I did this all on the sheet to make it make sense to you. So now we want to, this is basically, right, simple. You want to translate centimeters into inches, right? This is what we're doing. We want to translate tfachim, amot into tfachim. So how many tfachim tall was the mizbeach? So it turns out the mizbeach, according to this, okay, so if there's shit b'nei chamisha, that gets you to shit b'nei chamisha, how do we read this? B'nei chamisha. Chamisha va'arba'e. Sorry, I'm having trouble reading. Kama ve'ar eser amot sheet b'nei chamisha, right? B'nei chamisha chamisha. I guess that's what they mean. Each one was five. Va'arba'a b'nei shita shita. Okay, it just means six each. Five each is chamisha chamisha, the way the Gemara writes it. Okay, so six of them, this is exactly what I wrote. Six of them were five tfachim each, and four of them were six tfachim each. Okay, so mizbeach kama habe. So how many tfachim tall was the mizbeach? Simple math. Chamisha va'arba'a. Chamishim va'arba'a. 54. How do we get to 54? So 6 times 5, right? The bottom 6 were 6 amot times 5 is 30. And then 4 amot times 6 is 24. 30 plus 24 is 54. Okay. Palge de mizbeach kamahave. So where's the midpoint of the mizbeach? Why is this important, the midpoint of the mizbeach? Remember what happened at the midpoint of the mizbeach? The chut ha-sikra was at the midpoint. Now, the midpoint's going to be in a different place if you say the amot were, some were five and some were six, and or if you say they were all six or they were all five, right? You're going to have it in a different place. So where's it going to be? 54 divided by 2, right? 27. Esrim v'shiv'a. Okay? Exactly. 27, that's going to be the midpoint. Now, Mikranot va'ad sovev kamahave. Now go down from the top. If you're at the top and you're going down and you're standing on the sovev, remember I talked about the olat ha'of had to be done at the sovev. So you're standing at that sovev to do the olat ha'of. At what height are you standing? Okay, kamahave isrim ba'arba. You're exactly at 24 because remember the top four amot were six tfachim amot. So 4 times 6, 24. You're standing at 24. So where's this chut ha'sikra? 24 from the top. Okay, so you're 24 from the top. How many more tfachim do you have till you get to the chut ha'sikra? Three are left, right? Okay. Kama b'tzir lepalgei demizbeach. Well, how much is left till you get to half the mizbeach? Tlata. Okay, you have three. Now, here's our problem. Utnan, there's a Mishnah that says, chut ha'sikra, it's a Mishnah in Midot, chogro be'emza, okay, the chut ha'sikra was right in the middle. This was this red line which defined, what was the point of it? Kedei lahavdil bein damim ha'elyonim l'damim ha'tachtonim. It was exactly to say, if you have damim, they're supposed to be on the upper part of mizbeach, it has to be above this line. If they're on the bottom part of the mizbeach, it has to be below this line. That's why you had that line there. Elaha detanya gabe olata of. But here, there's a problem, because it says, gabe olata of. Haya ole bakevesh, you would go up the ramp, upana lesovev, and you would go on to the sovev, ubalo lekeren dromit mizrachit, you would go to the southeast corner, umoleket roshami mularpa, you would do the malika, umavdil, and you would separate the blood, umotse dama, or you separate, I forget what your mavdil, you're separating, I forget, but anyway, motse dama al kiram mizbeach, you now smear the blood,
let's just squeeze it out.
Squeeze it out, okay. And you, right, there was a whole thing about lahavdil. Do you have to separate it or not?
The
head from the body, that's what it was. I knew there was something about it. You have to separate the head from the body. Because in the chatara of, you don't have to be mavdil. That was the whole thing. There was a whole drasha from the psukim there. Umotzeh tamal kiram mizbeach. Now you take the animal, the bird that's in your hand and you smear the blood on the wall of the mizbeach. Ve'imasa, here's the key line. So you're doing it, basically, you're standing on the sovev and you're doing it below you. So now, the olat ha'of has to be done on the upper half. So now, what's the obvious? If you're three away from the midpoint, then all you have is three tfachim to do this. But what does it say? Ve'im asa'a lamata miraglav afilu ama achat kshera. If you went down even an ama from below your feet, it's still good. What does that show you? Right? Ha kayav elyona lamata mishnei tfachim. There's minimum, right? If you go with the minimum definition that an ama is five tfachim, so you're going over by two tfachim into the lower part of the mizbeach. You basically pass the chut ha'sikra by two tfachim, or maybe three. Right here, I did the rest of the math. Right, since you only have three left, so if you're at third, if you're at 24, why did I do 30 minus 5? I did 30 minus 5, right? You're basically standing at 24, and you go another 5 down. So you're going to be at 20. I don't know why I did that math, but okay, fine. So you're going to end up, okay, you're going to end up basically, you're standing at 24. You go another 5 or 6, you're going to end up below your line that's only 3 tefachim below you. Okay, so therefore, what do they say? Fine, so we reject that it can't be gova. It can't mean that from the yesod to the sovev, we're done with 5 tefachim amas. Elacheka ama knisa ama, rochav, right, cheka ama knisa, ama rochav knisa. Now, now we're quoting all the boards again. Cheka ama means the way it went in, or you could really say when it went out. I don't know why they say knisa. I would have said it juts out, right? But it means the width. Ama rochav, again, the width. Gvula al svata saviv, the width of the kranot. Mizbeach kamahave. So now, okay, everything juts out. All those amot were 5 tefachim amas. Now we're going to do more math. Kamahave luhu, shitin. Now we have to go back to this whole thing that I drew out in the beginning about it was 32 by 32. Then after you have the amah yesod, it's 30 by 30. After the amah of the sovev, it's 28 by 28. After the amah of the kranot, it's 26 by 26. After the makomi luchor glekonim, we get down to 24 by 24. Now, think about it. I'll just kind of already tell you this. If on every one we lose 2 tefachim, by the end, we're going to be minus a whole amah. Right? Because if this is, right, the yesod is one less tefach than our basic measurement, right? Our 32 by 32 is measured in the regular amot, the beinoni, the 6 tefachim. So on the amah yesod, we're going to lose one on either side, one tefach, that's minus 2 tefachim. And so, babe, you're going to lose another 2 tefachim, and then the karnot, you're going to lose another 2 tefachim. 2 times 2 times 2 equals 6 tefachim. You're going to be down an entire amah. So this the maracha can't be 24 by 24. It has to be 23 by 23. Not to mention, the 30 by 30 isn't 30 by 30. It's 30 and a 2 and it's and 2 tefachs by 30 and 2 tefachs, right? Each measurement is going to be off, basically, starting from, right? The only one that's accurate is the 32 by 32. As soon as you start saying, right, as soon as you go in, you're going to have a problem with all the measurements. Or maybe you'd say the opposite, even the 32 by 32 is off, because if you start measuring in and going out, right, and that's only jutting out. But the whole reason we said it was 32 by 32 was because the so juts out an amma, but it doesn't really jut out an amma. So,
well, don't you have to
all
know
the measurements
you're starting
are
out? Like, that's the most important thing. So we are starting out at 32 by 32. And Yechezkel says we're going in. So it seems like that's why.
That's why they start off with 32 by 32, yeah. Right? It could be. Okay, so now they're going to say, okay, so here we go. Sorry, found my place. Okay, can you say? Okay, Mizbeach kama havalu, shitin. Okay, so how much was the Mizbeach? It was 60. Palgei de Mizbeach. Okay, so now, first we're going to say this works very well with the height measurements. Okay, because now we're going to say how tall. First, we're going to say this works perfectly well with that, but now we're going to say it doesn't work so well with the rest. Okay, so how tall was the Mizbeach? 60. 60 tefachim, because each amah of height was 6. 6 times 10 amot, 60. Palgei de Mizbeach kamahavu, taltin, right? Then the midpoint of the Mizbeach is at 30. Mikarnot va'ad sovev kamahave, 24. So now from the top to the sovev, where's that coin standing? At a height of 24. This is now going to be perfect. Because kama betzir lepalgei de Mizbeach, shisha, he's got 6 to go to the under the to the midpoint of the Mizbeach. Vitnan, and now we go back to that Mishnah. Imas alamata meraglav, afilu amachat ksheira. Okay, so if he does it, even an amah below, it's ksheira, that's perfect, because he has exactly an amah to get to the midpoint. But now they say, b'mayu kimta b'knisa, you did this b'rochav, and that might work very well, because your gof is fine, but the rochav makes no sense. Umi matzit mukmele b'knisa, v'ha anantnan, doesn't it say in the Mishnah, here's our Mishnah which discusses all the midot. Mizbeach haya 32 al 32. Ala amah v'kines amah, in other words, you go up one amah and in an amah, zehu yesod. And then from going in there, right, this should be very easy after my whole description, nimtza 30 al 30. But it's really not shloshim ashloshim. It's shloshim ushnei tefachim havi, because you're missing those 2 tefachim. V'tu, and furthermore, keep going on. Alach hamesh v'kines amah. So now you go up another 5 amot in the description of the Mizbeach. Go up to the height of the sovev. V'kines amah. Now go in an amah. Zehu sovev. There's your sovev. It's on the 6th amah, basically. Actually, I said it a little wrong. It's not like it's exactly between the 5th and the 6th. I didn't actually say that correctly. It stands at the sixth amma because it's five amot above the yesod, which gets it to the height of six. It's not an amma in height because it's the whole sovev kind of is on, based on the yesod. It's actually five amot in height, right? If you think about where six amot, because it's six amot off the ground. But so it's actually just that it juts out an amma. I said it wrong. It's not exactly between the fifth and the sixth. It's at the sixth. Okay, that was my mistake. Okay, so now... So now go up one, go in one amma, zeu sovev. Now what are you at? Nimtzai srim b'shmona, alas srim b'shmona. Now your base is a little smaller above the sovev because you're already in one, another amma. You're 28 by 28. But again, what should it be? Srim b'shmona v'arba tfachim havi. Now you should have, you should be another four tfachim wider because you only cut off in amma b'chamisha tfachim instead of in amma b'chisha tfachim. If you want to say, well, this doesn't really matter, two tefachim, four tefachim less, they just didn't mention it, it's not a big enough shiur, we saw this the other day. Makom kranot, but now, what about the makom kranot? Ama mizeh v'ama mizeh, nimtza srim v'shesh ad srim v'shesh. Once you take off, though, the ama of the kranot, another two tefachim, now you're going to end up on a base of 26 by 26, but at this point, you're already an ama off. And at this point, it should be 27. Esrim v'sheva havu. So the already, you know, you could say maybe a few tefachim here and there, but a whole amma difference, that makes no sense. It really should have said it's 27 if that's correct. So what do they answer? Lo dak. They just weren't midayek about this amma.
Okay.
Makom hiluch ragle kohanim. But now we're going to say, we're still not convinced because what happens? Then it says, makom hiluch ragle kohanim, amma mizeh v'amma mizeh, nimtza asrim v'arba, asrim v'arba. So again, the makom amar, if we're going to now take away another amma, so now we're going to be, this is really the same as the previous question, because if that's only 27, then this should be 25. Esrim v'chamisha havai. V'chite mahachanami lodak, and if you want to say, the maracha was, right, esrim v'arba, esrim v'arba, but here's why they're bringing it, because now they're going to say, so according to this, the maracha was 24 by 24, it should really be 25. You could say, okay, they weren't medayik in that Mishnah. But we have a problem, because if you go back to Yechezkel, a few psukim later, what does he say? V'hariel shtemesre orech b'shtemesre rochav. The base, okay, that's what they call the Ariel, the base here where the maracha sat was 12 by 12. How do we get 12 by 12? Right? And ravua, right? It was a square. Yachol she'enu ela shtemesre al shtemesre. How could it be 12 by 12? And do his measurements not match the Mishnah's measurements?
Because
Shehu Omer, right, it might not. But what did they say? We've learned this before. I don't know if you remember this. Because Shehu Omer ala ra'at riva'av, it says on its all four corners. What does it basically mean? Again, they're measuring the radius. They're basically saying each of the, if you split that maracha into four, each of the four sections are 12 by 12, which makes it 24 by 24. Okay? So now, right, milamecha be'emtzahu modeit shtemesre amah lechol ruach. Okay? And here, you can't say he wasn't being exact because he was saying that when you're going down from 32, okay, you're just going to get too complicated, start saying minus 2, whatever. But this pasuk says exactly it was 12. It was clear it was 24 by 24 and it wasn't 25. So you can't say that. B'chitem ashit minayu me'ikara ba'amat bat chamisha ma'ite lehu. Now, if you want to say that six of them, 1 second, and that, right, that maybe six of these amot that discussed in this measurement of the Mishnah, six of the amot were actually amot bat chamisha tfachim. Okay, maybe that you would say. Okay, but if you want to say that, there's a separate problem. In other words, obviously it would be weird to say that, but let's just assume that of these 32 amot, six of them were amot bat chamisha, which would then get you the exact number. But you can't say that because in came Rav Chala Azara. Then you're missing measurements of the whole Azara. Okay, now you can look at the map. Ditznan. Kol Azara ita orech 187 al rochev 135. The whole room, right, it's a rectangular shape, the room where the Azara is, which leads to the Echal. That whole area, we've seen these measurements, are 187 length by 135 width. Okay, mimizrach l'marav, 187. So how do we get to this 187? So we're going to go mimizrach l'marav, okay? From east to west, we're going to go inside. We're going to start off. Mekom drusav reglei Yisrael. Okay, look at the map. There's the area called the Ezra Yisrael, where Yisraelim can go. When you go in Sha'ar Niganor, all of a sudden, there's, how many is that? 11. Okay, achat esrei amah. The next area, only Kohanim were allowed to go. Now, the whole area, only Kohanim were allowed to go, but that's the area until you get to the Mizbeach. We're going to basically measure. So there's 11 Amah, then you go another 11 Amah in. That's where the Kohanim can go, but Yisrael can't go anymore. That's a Chat Esrei. HaMizbeach, 32. Now you count another 32 to count the Mizbeach, Samot. Bein Ulam LaMizbeach, 22. Okay, from there to the Mizbeach, we have another 22. Haichal me'ama, the hecha was 100. Achat esrei ama achorei beit hakaporet. There's a place behind the hechal. We talked about that place a number of times. There's 11 amot there, and therefore, if you add up all those numbers, 11 plus 11 plus 32 plus 22 plus 100 plus 11 equals 187. And if you say that some of the amot were only chamishat tefachim, then you're going to end up, we should be short one ama, and then what should it be? It should actually, we should be short two amot. No, one ama. If six of them were ba'ma bat chamisha, then we end up with 30 instead of 36. Right, one ama short. It should be 31, in which case it should be 186. So we're missing space there, so that doesn't make sense either. Okay, so we're basically stuck because we can't explain this whole sizing of the Mizbeach if you say that width-wise it didn't match up. Okay, so we tried to say the Amma, that these the Yesod and the Sovev was the height. It didn't work out with the height things that we know, and with the Chudas Sikra, with the Olah Ha'ov. We tried to say with the width, but that doesn't work out because then this whole measurement is off. And if this whole measurement is off, then all the measurements in the Azara are off. And it's not 187, it's 186. And we know that it's 187 from the Mishnayot. So we're stuck. So have to wait till tomorrow. I know you're going to have trouble sleeping tonight, not knowing how this all works out, but... See you tomorrow.